You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. But wanting my cake and eat it too. And wanting it both ways. Fame made me a balloon, cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. And it was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of Bruce Lee of Fuse Inc. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Woo! Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It's like winning, excuse me. I'm blinded cause I think I'm getting so huge, I need a shrink. I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo and kooky is cool key.
Going cuckoo is right.
Cause I'm friends with the monster.
Friends, part of the family, man. What are you talking about? No, and it's something only veterans can laugh about. Like, what? Oh yeah, not only friends, man. That crazy thing's part of the family. Ask them. Ask the kids. They'll tell you. Anyway, good Friday morning to you, Mike McNamara, in for a Friday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Interesting experience this week, not going to lie to you, not only personally, the process of intellectual discovery relative to Vietnam and My Lai specifically, but also the other part of it that, to me, that's been fascinating is the reaction of Vietnam veterans, the powerful reaction they have, and the different things that are hot-button issues for them. My Lai certainly being one of them. John Kerry's testimony being another one. If you've never heard that, I'm undecided about when to play it for you. But the best version I found of it is about 40 minutes long. And I'm not sure how old John Kerry would be at the time. He looks to be maybe 30 years old. But recently the Secretary of State, longtime senator from where, Maine, Massachusetts, something like that, some East Coast thing, Northeast Coast thing, and but you can tell he's a bright, articulate young man, and he's calling for immediate cessation of the Vietnam War, testifying in front of the, I'm not sure if it was some Senate Armed Service Committee or the Foreign Affairs Committee. I'm not sure which one it was. But pretty interesting little, but again, my point in bringing that up is that it's a lightning rod with Vietnam. Some people, Vietnam veterans bring it up and they talk about what a piece of shit he was. And then others, talk about his testimony as an incredible event in the country coming to grips with what was going on in Vietnam, what the Vietnam War was, blah, 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 blah. So, I think it's the other interesting piece of it is the whole leadership piece of if you were in Vietnam, if you were unfortunate enough to go to Vietnam with weak leaders, then you had an experience that, you would likely never recover from. Hopefully you would learn to live with it. I'm sure a lot of guys didn't learn to live with it. And it seems like for whatever reason, there was a lot of those people around, And so that's why I find this discussion about leadership in Vietnam so interesting. And, the stories that you hear, My Lai obviously being the most prominent. But, My Lai is really about you know, no leaders. Everybody being absent, starting from the company commander. You know, he was, you know, the backdrop is the body count. You know, we need to be more aggressive. We're losing guys. We're not killing anybody. That's not playing well in Peoria. So they want to go get some. They've never been really in contact with the enemy in the 7 weeks they've been there. So you have a company commander who's been told by the intel guys, and this is post-Tet, right? So this is early 1968, March 16th to be exact, of 1968. So it's post-Tet. The Viet Cong are blood white. The NVA are blood whiter yet still. And they're on their ass. They can't do a whole lot. They're licking their wounds. So they're not out dominating the villages looking for, you know, to invite some kind of American incursion into an area. Not doing it. The intelligence is completely wrong. But, you know, but the soldiers get briefed. Hey, here's what's going to happen. We're going to finally encounter these guys, man. It's going to be on in My Lai 4. So, then in the order that goes out, you know, first to the lieutenants, then to the, he gives it to the entire company. They gather the company. And then the questions get asked. Everybody in the village is going to be C. Everybody in the village is going to be a VC or VC sympathizer. Now, these guys are novices to war. And nobody asks the question, does VC sympathizers, well, they do ask the question, but they don't press it. And we all know that's an unlawful order. You know, you had, you know, David Hackworth, he was on, you know, audio from him being interviewed, talking about he was ordered in Korea as a lieutenant. Or maybe as an enlisted soldier. He had six prisoners. And he was ordered over the radio to kill him. And he said, I'm not doing that. If you want to come down here and kill him, you can live with that, but I'm not doing that. And he says, you can't do that. We all know that. So, not only, you know, there's, what, four platoon commanders in most companies? And then an executive officer. That's five lieutenants, not just William Calley. You know, where the hell are they? There's five platoon sergeants, staff sergeant, or sergeant first classes in the United States Army. Where are they? All the squad leaders. Where the hell are they? So you know, it is amazing. And, you know, when he's queried about it, he says, the women and children will be at the market at 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. Anybody there will be VC or VC sympathizer. What if there's women and children? Everybody there. Everybody dies. Cricket, 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 cricket. And then, so that's the mindset that they leave their orders the night before. They're going to get into a big fight, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, it's astounding to listen to. And then the next piece of it is, well, it was Vietnam. And insurgency fighting we hadn't done since, you know, on the American plains with Native Americans. Not what we did. Certainly not what we did well. And in order to operate in a dispersed way, what do you need? You need strong, small unit leaders. You need leaders. And so it's been very interesting, you know, talking, you know, yesterday Tom Drowdy was on. Next week you'll hear from Jarvis Lynch. Got out as major general, but he's a major in Vietnam. And I just find it interesting to talk to them about what it was like. The stereotype we see is drugs, right? the occasional shooting of civilians, of the occasional, you know, you see helicopters, you know, flying, shooting, you know, water buffalo as they fly through, you know, and was that the way it was? The drugs, the rape, is that the way it was? Or like any military at any time, was that simply the way it was into units that were led by people who shouldn't have had the uniform on? So you know, to me, it's been incredibly, I don't know, for me, pulling the curtain back a little bit on, you know, a part of Vietnam that I had very superficial knowledge of. And then you see the applications of it today. I was talking to my oldest son last night, who is an SPC at the basic school. He said, "We do a case study on My Lai." And I said, "Well, what does that mean? What do you do? How long is it?" Because to me, if you plant those seeds, and again, the seeds aren't a discussion with some officer, staff, NCO. What's moving, what's never forgettable about the video is the statements that they make. And to plant those, to me, in the minds of that unbelievable video that they'll listen, that they'll watch, and it's two pieces. It's their statements after it happens about what they did, about the killing of women and children and old people, and the way they walk you through it. And then it's additional video 20 years later that shows them as they live with it. So you need to prevent this. Keeping your honor clean is a pretty significant thing for two reasons. One, it's the right thing to do. If you don't, people can get killed, innocent people, and they'll lose their only life they'll ever have. And you don't have any right to take it. And two, you and your Marines will live with that. And that burden is not insignificant. In fact, it ruins many, 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 many lives. So I think to plant those seeds is significant in terms of the commandant's whole keep your honor clean thing. So interesting conversation with him last night. We're gonna check the news here. No, we're not. We're gonna start talking food right away. So we'll get the Almarin Radio head chef on, and we'll talk to him a little bit about food. So a very good Friday morning to you. Whitney Houston, because it is Friday, sings the national anthem this morning in, I won't say arguably the greatest version, I will say without a doubt, the greatest rendition of the national anthem ever sung in public that I know of. Good morning to you.
Who's
I got an email about that. Well, no, you're going to hear Colleen sing God Bless America because it is Friday. Colleen just back from God camp. Yeah. Very nice little girl lately.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans. Wave us home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Done, Dad.
Yeah, that's Colleen singing. Here's Patrick singing, although you're not going to be able to tell because it's in a group of about 250 lieutenants, but nonetheless, this is him, son number two.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
That's awesome. A little bit of bravado, yes, but it's still a good answer. Mac, you bozo. John Kerry was a senator from Massachusetts. Ugh, God, I can't get away from that shithole of a state. What is it? Check the weather on the Marine Corps. Cloudy at 88 in Quantico. A little bit warmer. Hope Johnny Boy's got his bug spray on. 86 and sunny at Camp Lejeune. Quantico's got more bugs. It sucks, man. Whoever sided that place, well done. A lot of misery there. Granbury, Texas. Sunny in 87. Going to be warm in Texas. Big Timber, Montana. It's warm. Going to be warm in Montana. 71 degrees and sunny this morning. 29 Palms, 81, so a little bit cooler than 29 Palms under sunny skies. Cloudy at Camp Pendleton with a high of 62 right now, with a temperature of 62. Camp Smith in Hawaii, cloudy dark 77. Okinawa, cloudy dark 85. In Raqqa, 107. Raqqa, not bad. At the home of All Marine Radio, 68 degrees as we get going here on a Friday morning. Junior Walker and the All-Stars. Oh, this, how can you not stick your thumb in your mouth and pretend like you're playing the sax on here? Here it comes. Here's the best part. keeps going. He can rip it. Again. All right, we're going to take a break. Coming when we come back, Kim Holmes. We're going to talk food. Not really sure what, but we're talking it. So sit back, relax, enjoy the next 2.5 hours, All Marine Radio, spending it with you. Put your headset on. Tune out your jackass coworkers. Tell your boss to piss off, right? And just spend it with your tribe right here on the home of your tribe, All Marine Radio on the All Warrior fucking radio network. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer, but I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
This is rock and roll. Time to rocket from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Steppenwolf, you.
Comes our way. Yeah, I gotta go make it happen. Take the world in a loving place.
70s music.
Fire all of the guns, the constants, exploded to space. I like smoking lightning. Heavy metal thunder.
The 60s and 70s, man. It was. The doors were coming off, the tires were coming off, man, it was all coming off.
Yeah, it was.
It was on, man.
Yeah, it was game on for sure.
Oh man, our poor culture just getting annihilated. Joining me is the head chef of All Marine Radio in his second year of that gig. It is none other than himself, Pete Kimball Holmes. So, Kim, how are you this morning?
I am fabulous.
Really? Wow.
It's been nice weather here. Supposed to have thunder showers this afternoon, but just then I don't have to water my plants, man.
So,
we've had a good summer weather-wise.
There's an upside to all of that. All right.
All right.
But that's it. Other than that, there's nothing else that's happened in your life that made you happy, or?
Well, let's see. We went to Fargo.
No, we don't need to. No, I'm not looking for big events. So no, I'm not looking for the down and dirty in your. In your life,
just life goes on for me. I'm very content with my young bride, and we hang out, we do stuff together, and just I'm enjoying life.
Got it.
You know, the thing is, people say, "Geez, aren't you bored with retirement?" And I start laughing. And I said, "Are you kidding me? This is cool. I had no idea. I miss the business, the restaurant business, tremendously. Well, I miss the people in the kitchen, but I don't miss the business end of it." But
why not?
Well, you know, that's all the stuff that goes on when the restaurant's closed.
Yeah.
And you're working in the office, you know, you're doing bills. I did pretty much everything, and because I didn't want to pay anybody to do it, except for my accountant. I had an accountant who I turned in the payroll, and then I'd pick it up. But otherwise, I wrote all the checks and did all that stuff, and it was okay. But getting calls in the middle of the night because the alarm system went off. because for some reason or another.
Right.
And I have to get up, get dressed, and go down at 4 a.m. and see that, and wait till the police go through with guns drawn.
Nice.
You know, that's a pretty big building. Go upstairs, downstairs.
And all you want to do is get back in bed.
Yeah, I didn't even want to get out of bed, but, man, you know, I didn't want anything to happen.
Right.
But that's about it. But, yeah, I love the business. I was in it for 50 years since I was in high school. So, you know, that's what I do. And I got to be pretty good at it. And I think I threw as good a party every night as just about any restaurateur. I wasn't the greatest chef in the business, but I held my own, but I had fun every night. I will say that.
All right. So what's the best part about being retired?
About being retired?
Yeah. What's the best part about
it? Is I can do what I want. I want to go to a movie. I'm going to sit around for a couple hours in the afternoon and read a book.
But doesn't that get old? Don't you want us like something to do, or are you just like tired of doing something? Now it's like being a little kid again. I get out of bed. I'm not really sure what's going to happen.
Well, yeah, I get that, but I have those little chain link fence in condos, the storage areas,
right,
in your garage, underground garage. Well, I turn mine into my man cage. and I do my leather work that I used to do in the 70s and 60s, and I'm back at that, and I spend time in that, try to every day, and you know, I visit with people and go see my young kids that started with me, and I visit their restaurants and see how they're doing. You know, I miss the people for sure, but I get out and about. But I don't miss the
people. So you're just it's a time in your life where you're just ready to do something else.
Yeah, and leather I like doing leather stuff, and I just have a good time with Beth.
All right, because a lot of people find retirement boring. That, you know, that they work their whole life and then trying to transition to not doing anything is a bit of a challenge. A lot of guys take part-time gigs. And I don't mean.
No, I know a
know
lot
what
of
I mean?
People do.
They try retirement. It's like, man, that's too much free time. Sitting around listening to my wife bitching all day, telling me to do stuff. I got to get out of the house. And if I try to get away from her without a job, she's like on me. So in order for me to have like a legitimate release from the tyranny, I have to have a job, right?
I never looked at my wife as tyranny, though.
No. I know, and most men don't, but you know how they talk when she's not around, because they never say that when she's within a mile or two.
What I do is I'll get in my car every once in a while, a few times a month.
Put on the step
and drive.
Put on the Steppenwolf music.
Oh, I put all kinds of music on. Hi, Don. I listen to all kinds of music. I have everything that I had from my vinyls on the iPod. And I have that Bluetooth there. I have it plugged into my car. And so I listen to everything from doo-wop to Rolling Stones to Charles Mingus, Miles Davis, all kinds of music like that. And some of the new stuff
there's no new stuff.
Humble jumbo to me.
Yeah,
but that's cool. I get it. My music was mumbo jumbo. Well, my mother loved it all.
Oh, really?
And she's the one that turned me on to Lou Rawls and jazz piano players and stuff like that. So, yeah, and I'll go down to Walker, drive down 2.5 hours to Bob's place on Leech Lake in Minnesota.
So that's life of a retired dude. Okay.
That's what I do. And I'm extremely content. I would like to travel more. Sometimes
where do you want to go? Where do you want to go?
Oh, I want to do a drive about. I want to head west and go out to Washington State, where I used to live and got a lot of friends there. Drive down the coast. Stop at my friend's winery in Napa Valley that I went to high school with in Palo Alto. Go down. I haven't driven out to see you yet.
More important than me is Dodger Stadium. You've never been to Dodger Stadium, man. It's a joke.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a joke. It's a joke. It's an outrage.
Yeah, it is. It's a sacrilege.
Yeah.
And I'm the first to admit it. And they got the best record in the majors right now.
They're like on a run that is like incredible. They've like in their last 35 games, they're like 33 and they're 33 and two.
Yeah, but you know, they've tickled my noogies every year for the last 3 years, and then right at the end they crumble, and so I'm cautiously optimistic, shall I say?
Well, you know, you're right about that. You know, their record in the postseason is something to be leery of. I would agree with you. And you know, Clayton Kershaw is a rock star pitcher, and yet you know he goes up against Madison Baumgartner, and Baumgartner owns him. Baumgartner pulls his pink slip out of his pocket and shows it to him, like, "Hey, bro, you know that." You know.
San Francisco is 29 games out.
Yeah, so you guys
don't think they're going to catch them.
You guys are safe for the time being.
I sure the hell hope so. I'd like to see them get into the World Series this year against the Yankees.
Yankees aren't going to be there. The team that's going to be there will be Houston. Houston's good. They're young and they're good.
Yeah, they're very good. They're very good.
So yeah, I got a food question for you. Hey Mac.
Yeah.
I am looking to make some lamb chops this week. They're pretty thick cuts of lamb chops. Does Kim have a little love for me relative to grill 'em or fry 'em? Maybe saute 'em in something. Looking for some guidance. So lamb chops, we don't often talk about lamb chops.
Okay, and lamb chop, I love lamb chops.
Do you?
Oh my gosh.
Is it?
Oh God. Cause you get done eating the lamb, chop, and then you pick the bone up and you go in. And you gnaw away like a dog. it's pretty stripped when I put a lamb chop bone down.
Okay, so let's do it. Let's do this two ways. Give him one way what to do if you're going to grill it, if you want to grill it, and then give him another way in 30 words or less.
God, you're asking the impossible.
Yeah, I know. Trust me. Otherwise, I'm going to get, I'm going to get.
I know, you get. You get pushy.
I'm going to get Magellan circumnavigating the world. And then give him another one to do on the stove, with maybe something he could saute it in or grill it in or however you would do it on the stove. So, with that said, on the grill, how do you do lamb chops?
Well, you blast the, half the burners on high. Medium high. Let's just say medium high. I don't want them to get, it depends on how thick they are. I'm assuming they're at least an inch to an inch and a half thick, these lamb chops.
Of course.
So let's just say an inch. That's a pretty good-sized lamb chop.
Right.
But anything bigger than that, 500 degrees on the grill, and the other one on low, the other burner on as low as, you know, like 160 to 200, and then you rub it with olive oil, salt, pepper, and garlic puree. I love garlic on my lamb chops. So that's yes or no, for whatever you want to do. And then you grill them just like you do a hamburger. You put it on one side. You get your crisscross marks on. Turn it over to the other side. And no more than a few minutes on each side. And then you put it on indirect heat. Shut your lid. And you have your thermostat in there. And I like my lamb chops rare to medium rare. So that would be 125 to 135.
Okay, enough of the temperature stuff. What do I put on them, man?
I just said garlic, olive oil, salt, and pepper.
That's it?
Now, you just want to grill them straight up.
Okay.
You can put tarragon. You can put rosemary on them also when you grill them, whatever your favorite herb is. And then I take them off the grill when they're at temperature. And I like mint jelly with them lamb chops. That's the first way I had them as a kid at about 13. But if you want to make a sauce, you take that jelly, you take some mint leaves, and you you chop them up, and you melt that jelly in a pan, and then you have a sauce.
Okay.
Or you can put a chimichurri. That's parsley, garlic, and what's the other herb, Beth?
What?
Chimichurri.
Oh, parsley.
Parsley, garlic,
cilantro,
olive oil, cilantro, salt and pepper,
and jalapeno.
And jalapenos if you like heat. And that is a sauce you make up and you put it in the fridge. You can do it the day before so all the flavors get in. And then you just put that over. Or you can have a combination of the chimichurri with the mint sauce and mix it all together if you want a little sweetness in there. And then grilling them in a cast iron skillet. I prefer a cast iron skillet, and you turn those, that skillet, onto medium high heat, and, you do the same thing, you cook it on one side and get a crust on them, and that gives you an even crust all over your lamb chop.
Okay.
And then when you flip it, same thing, same temperature, 120 to 135, rare to medium rare. 120 is pretty rare. I'd say 125 to 135. And then you're in the front row. And I love the mint sauce, but Beth made a chimichurri with jalapeno. And for me, I would have that as a topping. And could I also mix it with the mint sauce that you just made? And that's how I would cook them.
Okay, that's on the grill, right?
No, that's a grill and a cast iron skillet.
Got it. Okay. All right. right. Another...
If you're inside the cast iron skillet on top of the stove.
Got it. Another email.
But,
Mac, I like the idea of road trips. I don't know why, but it's appealing to me this morning. And I'm just curious. If you could take one road trip, where would you go? Where would I go? I'd probably go visit my kids. But let me take that off the table. You can't go visit your kids or a relative. What is a place that I would go visit? Never been to the Grand Canyon, so I think I have to go there. So if I was just gonna go see something, road trip means I got to drive there. If I was gonna go see anything in the world, I would go to the island of Iwo Jima and go check that island out. I've read about it. I've wanted to visit it, and get to. Not too many flights going there. It's abandoned except for an air station that the Japanese maintain there. And so that would be the one place at the top of my bucket list to visit would be the island of Iwo Jima, the one sightseeing place that I think is, if you drive, I think it's Highway 40 across the northern end of New Mexico, the northern part of Arizona. It's absolutely, you think you're in an old West movie, right? The high buttes and the beautiful bright orange color of the, of that part of the country takes your breath away stuff. So yeah, probably just to see something, one thing I've never seen. I will tell you, if you've never been to Yellowstone, take your breath away. Just the history of the explosion there that created it all, and then just all the different natural things. But I would give you some advice. Stay away from the edges. You know, you see these stories, and there's been two in the last year of people, getting boiled to death when they're messing around in these hot springs areas, and they slip and fall in, and they're destroyed as human beings. So, yeah, don't do that. So, how about you, Kim?
Yellowstone. I took a Harley trip from here to Seattle, and I went through Red Lodge where I used to live when I came back from Switzerland, and then drove up the Beartooth Highway and through Yellowstone, and did the whole circle around Yellowstone on my bike, and then came out. And towards Livingston, and stopped at Chico Hot Springs, which is an absolutely—it's an old spa. But for me, my favorite road trip would be to go from here to New Orleans, and I would drive straight south, and in Mississippi, out of Oxford and down is the Blues Highway, where Robert Johnson made his pact with the devil so he could play the guitar, so the story goes. It's fiction, but that's the story, and they're sticking to it.
Right.
But yeah, and I'd end up in New Orleans and eat myself blue.
Have you been to New Orleans?
No, I have not, and I'm embarrassed to say so.
Wow.
It's a crime against me.
No, it's not. It's really a dump. As a city, New Orleans is a dump. It's a nasty place.
And nah. Not in the old French Quarter in that area.
Yes, it is.
It's not nasty.
It's nasty. Okay. So you go down there, you go down there, you check it out, you tell me. It's least nasty of nasty. Okay. So.
That's my people, baby. Nasty people.
No, indeed. New Orleans and people saw it during Katrina, right? I mean, it's a nasty, poor, old city. And I was surprised. I was there before I went to Iraq the first time. I'd never been down there. And, you know, yeah. they speak that whole goofy language they speak, and I didn't like being there, and I don't say that about too many places, but it was not a good vibe in that city, and the Marine base was
yeah.
maybe a mile from the French Quarter, you know, same part of the city, not a very nice part of the city now. That is all. Some of that has changed with Hurricane Katrina, but yeah, New Orleans, old corrupt city. And but I've heard it's been improved since Katrina, as things that, you know, it's a major event in the life of the city when you have a flood like that, and it gives you a chance to rebuild it. And so I've heard that they've done better things with it, but yeah, I'm not a fan of New Orleans, and I don't say that about too many places either.
Well. I certainly understand that, but the food in New Orleans is probably the most original food in the United States, as far as being American cuisine, and that would be my focus, that's all. But my to date, my favorite road trips have been from in the western part of the United States, from Mexico to the Canadian border and in between the Rockies, the Tetons, like you said, Jackson Hole.
I didn't say anything about Jackson Hole. What do you mean?
Well, Yellowstone.
Oh, Yellowstone. Is Jackson Hole's not in Yellowstone, is it? Is it?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Sure is. Well, look it up.
I am looking it up right now.
Okay. But yeah, the Southwest is absolutely spectacular, with the desert scenes and the buttes. It's pretty cool.
Okay. All right. The let's see, another email. Hey, Mac, I've heard this chef talk about his love of the hot dog. Is there a way that he likes his prepared? Does he prefer steamed over grilled? So back to the hot dog. We never get too far away from it. Your love of the hot dog, grilled or steamed for you? Pick one.
Well, I would say my favorite way is to steam the hot dog and to steam the bun. And then I pile on onions, mustard, and that's the basic dog. If I want to get fancy, I'll add sauerkraut or relish with the onions and mustard.
So you prefer steamed? You preferred steamed?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right.
But that's just me.
I get
the grilled dog.
He was asking about you, so that's what he wanted. For me, hot dogs have their own. It's like their own genre of food, and
yeah.
And I don't know, but the hot dog gets such a beating in terms of nutrition, Kim. I mean, it's on nobody's list of healthy foods. You know, yeah, have a couple hot dogs and live better. You're not going to read that anytime soon. So the hot dog takes a beating.
But you'll be happier.
So the trick is when to mix it in to make yourself happy.
You know, it's not anything you want to eat every day, but unless you're at the ballpark and you work there, then I'd say, you know, for 6 months a year, you eat hot dog every day.
Would that bother you?
I wouldn't bother me, no. Oh, yeah. Beth just patted my pacemaker. great run. I'm 73.
You earned
everybody it. Would have lost that bet.
Wait, what are you trying to say? You've earned that pacemaker? This thing just didn't happen by accident, man. I earned this thing. I ran it hard, and I ran it long.
Yes, I did. Overtime and everything.
Overtrained.
As the saying goes, ride me hard and put me away wet.
So would you recommend that as a lifestyle choice, as, you know?
That depends on your constitution, whether you can handle it or not.
Oh.
At the time, you know, I was just going balls to the wall because of the business I'm in. And I maintained a 50-year relationship with it, this lifestyle. And it served me well financially, socially, but I wouldn't recommend it for everyone. Some people don't have the constitution to handle. They might call it stress. I just call it challenging. But I just loved what I did. But at 70, I said, maybe I think I better change buses. That's all. I got no complaints, no regrets by any stretch of the imagination. I'm a happy camper. And look, over the years, you and I have met 30 years ago. We've been pals ever since, and I've been blessed with the people I've met and the places I've been. And that's why, but I would like to squeeze a few more road trips in there. And that would be really fabulous if I could do that. But I'm slowing down a little bit. But the one thing I recommend to everybody is if you're young at heart, it doesn't matter how old you are, as long as you keep tight with Peter Pan.
Oh, all right, folks. Peter Pan.
Yeah, baby.
You got to be kidding me. All right.
Yeah,
I'm not a Peter Pan guy.
Hey, look, it's just a figure of speech of stay young and think young.
Don't dwell on the fact
that you go from 40 to 50 to 60 to 70. Just embrace each generation and rock and roll hoochie-coo. What can I say? That's my story. And I am sticking to it, obviously.
All right.
But, yeah. And you have your ups and downs in every decade. And every situation has its highs and lows. But you adapt and you keep the smile on your face. That's what I try to do. And I've been pretty successful. And there are times when I haven't been, but, you know, they've been more sad than difficult. But that's showbiz, baby.
That's showbiz. All right. No, I'm good with it. But, you know, a lot of people, as we were talking, a lot of people, they go into retirement thinking one thing, and then retirement changes for them, or they make adjustments because they either don't adjust to it well. So, I mean, I guess retirement is whatever you want it to be. And if you want to work, I know people that work 20 hours a week and like getting out of the house, they like doing little stuff. Like a little bit of extra money it certainly is whatever you make of it. A lot of other people just like to hang out, and to travel. You are unique in that business that you were in, it takes its toll on people. Yes?
It does. Yes, it does. And I've seen people that have worked for me that have gone on and that are in over their head when they get their own joints. but and I feel for them, but I am a little different than a lot of folks in this business. I never let the booze get a hold on me and take me down or anything else that are sidebars in our business.
Is that what deals most people in?
Yeah, drugs and booze in my business, what takes most people down, if they don't pay attention and focus on their business. I've always been aware of my business and, how my guests are going to, be taken care of and the quality of food I serve. It's not about consumption for me. It's about throwing a good party every night, but you have to pay attention. And, sometimes, towards the end of my, well, I'd say the last 15 years in the business, I had, my bartender, I would say, if somebody wants to buy me a drink, pour me a club soda with lime, or a tonic and lime, and hand it to me and charge it for a vodka tonic.
Nice.
No, but that's how I would handle it, having a drink with somebody. I just, you know, cause man, I'd never last past, 7:30, 8 o'clock if I had a drink with everybody that wanted to buy me a drink. And I really appreciate that, but, that's just not where I went with that part of it.
Right. Right. No, I mean it gets a lot of people out of that business, and you know it's tough. I mean, it's tough on families because you got to be down at your business, which means when your kids are, you know, having dinner and getting ready for bed, you know, you might be able to pop in and pop out for that, but you got to be at your joint. Because you're a small business owner, so it's not an easy business, the restaurant business, to survive. At least let me put it like that.
For me, Mac, the restaurant business was a way of life.
That's right. It was your gig, right?
Yes, sir. It was. And if you wanted to run with me, that's what you had to choose. Or at least didn't have to be your gig, and I never ask anybody to do it, but that's what I did. And if you have your own gig, then I embrace that too, just so you're happy. And with Beth, my wife, she was a hairdresser when we met, and they put nails in her salon, and she got allergies. She dropped down to about 110 pounds, and these allergies almost killed her. So she had to quit the hair business, and she'd done it for over 20 years. And so we created the Sanders Sauce Company, and she did everything. She manufactured, she bottled, labeled, packaged, shipped, did the whole enchilada all by herself. And we had a little storefront for her. Not a storefront, but a little place where she could manufacture it. We sold it at Laddie's and in the restaurant, Macy's, a kitchen company. So, you know, we sold it in different places. And she really shined. And then she started baking cheesecakes for us. And, she started baking them one at a time to where, she was doing them six at a time. Then towards the end of my run, she took over the bread baking business. And so she baked bread in the morning. I mean, I was blessed that she made that transition. It's not always successful for a lot of people. But, you know, it sure was my gig, and for over 50 years, I sure enjoyed it. And I got to travel, too. How about that?
That's awesome. All right, sir. Anything, any other advice, any other quality advice to give today? We've been kind of given Kim's big advice. So any other retirement advice, any other restaurant business advice, any other food advice?
I have for you a little herb paste for your lamb chops or pork, whatever you want to do chop-wise. It's a quarter cup of olive oil,
okay,
3 minced garlic cloves, 1 tablespoon chopped fresh parsley, 2 tablespoons or teaspoons of chopped fresh sage, 2 teaspoons of chopped fresh thyme, and rosemary and oregano. Rub it on lamb chops and let it rest for 20 minutes before you cook it. And that is a killer coating for your lamb chops. And if you put that paste on it, then you turn the heat down to medium to medium high when you either grill it or fry it in the skillet. Okay?
Got it. All right, sir. First of all, thank you very much for the visit today.
Thank you.
We will, I will talk to you later today. And please give my best to Miss B.
I will do that. And thank you and everybody out there in Marineland. Thank you.
All right, buddy.
And have a great weekend.
All right. There you have it. The head chef, All Marine Radio. Counseling about retirement. Never done that before. All right, we're gonna take a quick break.
You caught me off guard there, but I'm sure having a good time. That's all I can say.
It's showbiz, baby. All right, it continues. We're gonna talk to Mike McDowell coming up next on a Friday edition of Mac Talk here on your home Mac Talk on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio. Don't touch that dial. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.